Hello and welcome to Rhythm and Brews, you guys. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we've had an episode, so apologies for that. Been a couple of different reasons why. It's just been tough scheduling things, and then last week we actually did record, and then I just forgot to press record. But we're finally back with a great episode this week. We've got the hosts of Conquest here with me, Chinmo.
Hey, guys.
And Kat.
Hey.
For a very special episode, we're celebrating movie soundtracks today. We'll clarify. Why can't I talk?
Oh, no, it's not important for a podcast, so you'll be okay. You're fine.
As long as I have a face for radio, it should be fine.
You have a face for everywhere.
Thanks, babe. So handsome. We did not include, we're not talking about movie scores today. That's really important, I think, yes, to set that expectation up front. This is not your John Williams's, your Hans Zimmer's, your Danny Elfman's. We'll probably do another episode around that kind of thing down the line. This is more like your songs inspired by the movie type of soundtrack, right? Or songs, like popular songs featured in the movie type of soundtrack, right? Is that how you guys made your playlists?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. This is, anybody who's listened to a Chinmo episode before knows that Chinmo doesn't drink.
Yeah.
So I'm here sort of as his designated drinker. That'll factor in more when we get to the drinking game down the line. But for Kat and I, just in terms of our BYOB, we're drinking Founders Breakfast Stout today in honor of the Breakfast Club, a classic movie with a classic soundtrack. So that's what we've got. And Chinmo is drinking water. I don't know, something boring.
I don't know why, but I don't know if it's just because that's where the seam is on the package for that, but the logo for that beer is a little creepy on the side.
It's definitely creepy. It's like a little baby being fed breakfast by his parents, and he doesn't look happy about it.
And it's very upset.
I don't know. It's just like the weirdest way to represent breakfast.
Well, I think because it's an oatmeal stout, so he's having like a porridge kind of thing, and no one really looks forward
That's the thing. It's not an oatmeal stout. It's a you're right. It's a coffee oatmeal stout. It's delicious. I've had this a bunch of times. It's like one of my favorite stouts. I think I actually even just made a Facebook post about it the other day. But yes, it's probably my go-to stout. It's great. I don't, if you're not local here in New England, you won't necessarily have a sense of how miserable it is here right now weather-wise, but it's really fucking miserable. And
hey man, it's like 50 degrees today, and that's the warmest it's been in.
That's true.
I was like, it's a spring day.
Today was an outlier. But I mean, this is just a very warming beer. Stouts are a very warming style beer, so I think this just makes sense. And again, it's got the Breakfast Club tie-in. Kat, I don't know if you have any thoughts. You struggled really hard. You wanted to bring your own beer.
I did.
Until I convinced you to stop like fretting about it and just meal in on my breakfast stouts.
This was the toughest tie-in, I think, for me, because I wanted to either find a beer that was brewed in a place where one of my movies took place, or maybe like a song or a band from the soundtrack. And I did some research and found a beer for one of the movies, but it was brewed like a while ago.
Then pick it up wherever.
So I wasn't confident that I was going to be able to find it in a liquor store around here. And it's kind of like a smaller brewery, so I didn't know how many people were actually carrying it outside of that area. So I did fret a little bit, but then I decided that the Breakfast Club would be a good idea, and this just sounds like a delicious beer, so I'm all in on it.
Have I not had this before?
You've talked to me about it, but I actually really haven't tried it myself. So
I feel like I should be drinking chocolate milk right now.
I mean, you can
have. I don't have any.
You guys are talking about breakfast a lot, and it just makes me want chocolate milk.
We don't have milk, but we have like half and half and chocolate syrup if you want, a milkshake.
I don't think it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
I'll stick with my water, thank you.
Do you drink coffee, Jimmo?
I do not.
Chimo is very interesting dietary. I don't want to say restrictions because it's not a restriction.
It's a choice. It's a lifestyle choice. I have a
refined palate of a 5-year-old. to put it nicely.
You have a palate for 5-year-olds?
Oh, yeah, to take it that way. You sick son of a
bitch. Just, you're a man who knows what you like. You don't like much, but you like what you like.
And that thing is 5-year-olds.
Oh, my God, you're getting so creepy with it.
He works with kids. You can't say that.
Sorry. He's not known professionally as Chinmo.
It depends on what... No.
he's not like the educator formerly known as Chinmo.
if I have the choice between coffee and tea, I go tea. Usually, I'll drink a tea every once in a while.
Because it's like lighter.
Yeah.
All right.
I enjoy a good tea. I'll say it. Yeah. Good breakfast.
Well, we're going to get into our list in a second. We'll do this a little bit differently than we usually do in these sort of panel type episodes. Normally, we'll go song by song from person to person. We're going to try something a little bit different today. We're going to go person by person. We're going to let them walk through their entire playlist, and then we'll transition to the next person. We're just going to see how that goes, see how that feels.
Mixing it up.
Before we do that, though, let's crack open these beers and we'll get into it.
Next time I come on, I'm going to bring a beverage other than water.
You should bring like a root beer or something brewed, even iced tea. If you brought like a tea, something you could describe as having been brewed.
I'm going to make my own like weird concoction of a drink.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to happen next time I'm on.
Cheers, Kat.
Cheers.
Well, that was a good cling.
Kat, I feel like it's most natural to start with you.
Oh, all right.
If you're ready.
Yeah, bring it on. All right, that beer is delicious, by the way.
It is so fucking good. I've got your playlist pulled up. Which soundtrack do you want to start with?
I am going to start with The Commitments. It's a little Irish movie about an Irish band that they all come together because they have an appreciation for soul and blues and R&B. And they decide that they're going to make a cover band, and they get pretty successful at home. And it's from the 90s, but the soundtrack is great. It's full of soul and R&B and blues classics. The guy, so this voice sounds very deep and wise and seasoned, but
like
this guy's like 17.
Deep and wise.
Yeah.
No way.
Deep and wise. Is that a song you guys know?
No.
Deep and wide?
No. And this
it's a
also
song about vaginas.
So this song is Try a Little Tenderness, and it happens to be one of my favorite Otis Redding songs. So I thought put those hands together. I love this movie. It just makes me feel so happy. Like, it's a fun movie. There's that band dynamic where they fight a little bit and the band kind of breaks apart. But just watching their journey is really fun. It's one of the first soundtracks I loved. My parents loved this movie. It came out in, like, the 90s. And it's based on a book of the same name. And so it's one of the first soundtracks that I really got to know and love. Okay. And yeah, just it always holds a special place in my heart.
It's a great movie.
And it's
too.
A great movie. It's
Have
a,
you ever
it's
seen
a
this?
Good.
The Commitments?
Yeah.
No. Well, when did it come out?
It came out, I was really young. I want to say it came out in like 92 or 93.
Wow, that early?
Yeah.
So I still can't believe this is a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
That's
well,
still
I,
fun
to me. And he also looks like he's 45.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
I don't know how old the actor was, but
yeah, I remember this movie coming out when I was much younger because I used to be a super ham when I was a little kid. Like, whenever my parents would have parties or whatever, get-togethers, I'd insist in putting on a performance. So
curtains up at 7:30.
Yeah.
And it, yeah. Well, there's something so interesting about this movie, I think, because it's a totally new context for the music that
right.
is featured.
Yeah.
Because you don't just think of a bunch of like
white
lower
Irish
white
people.
Working class Irish people singing this type of soul music. But it like works. It has the same kind of like unexpected charm and appeal of like cool runnings where you're like not expecting a Jamaican bobsled team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're not expecting an Irish soul band.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. And so I remember my parents putting on this soundtrack and me like lip syncing and dancing to the entire thing for the like the get together that they were having. The guy that did this movie went on to do Once, and Glenn Hansard, who is the star, one of the stars of Once, is also in this movie. He also did Begin Again and
very musical movies.
And Sing Street. So he's got like a track record for those feel good musical Irish movies.
Once you said like the Irish like band, I was like, oh, Sing Street. Like that's what
same director and creator, and it's based, the author's name is escaping me right now. It's like on my bookshelf.
Dr. Seuss.
Theodore Geisel.
That was Karl
Marx.
No, Roddy Doyle.
Cat is a an infamous Marx. Communist.
Yeah, Roddy Doyle. He also did The Van and The Snapper, which it's the same. So it's a trilogy of books about this the Rabbit family. Jimmy Rabbit is the manager of the Commitments.
Forgot it was a book series.
That sounds like a manager's name.
Yeah, Jimmy Rabbit.
Yeah.
He was also one of my first crushes. On the Valentine's episode of Conquest that we did this week, we talked about celebrity crushes and first crushes. And I remember being very upset that the Jimmy Rabbit that was in The Commitments was not the same Jimmy Rabbit that's in The Snapper, the follow-up to The Commitments.
Mm. Also inspired Eminem's character in 8 Mile, also named Rabbit.
Rabbit, right. So that's my first choice. It's the first soundtrack I fell in love with.
That's a really solid choice, Chimo. Definitely, you should see that movie. I feel like you'd be all about it. I can't remember if we've talked about this before. Have you watched Sing Street?
Yeah, I love Sing Street.
Sing Street's great.
Absolutely great.
This is kind of like a generation before Sing Street, but a very similar feel.
I get into that. I like that.
What's your next one, Kat?
All right, so my next one is, if I'm going to go chronologically in my life, let's go with Supermodel from the Clueless soundtrack.
Oh, damn.
I loved the soundtrack.
Another great movie.
Another great movie. Very light and fun. Early 90s again. So this song, super embarrassing. But so in the fifth grade, we had a talent show. And I have always been a bit of a tomboy. But I decided with my friend Carrie, we were going to lip sync to this song. And like dress up like models or whatever. The day of the talent show, she decided that she didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway. And I like got up in front of my class and I had on those like jelly heels that were really popular in the 90s and like a little dress and like did my hair and stuff.
Oh wow. Is there pictures of this somewhere?
I hope not. I came in third place, so it was great. But
we should clarify, she wasn't 5 at the time, Chimo.
what is this horrible joke?
Just in fifth grade.
Jesus.
I love the soundtrack. It's so clear for 90s music. The Mighty Mighty Boss Tones are on it. Coolio's Rolling with the Homies, which is like pretty prominent in the plot line of the movie. Radiohead for that classic like 90s college kid grunge. Yeah. Kids of America is on there. So it's just like some really great classics. It's a nice mixture of grunge and ska and like power pop that was really prominent at that time.
Which also suits the movie really well because it's all about different like cliques on campus. So there is music that kind of complements all of those different groups. So it works really well.
Yeah.
And also for Cher, that's the main character.
Yep.
She kind of explores those different realms that she's like dating different people or trying to give the significant others that her friends are dating a chance and just getting exposure to these different worlds, and the music kind of fits in naturally with all those different phases of the movie.
Yeah, and for that time in your life, very well said. You kind of
guys, I'm pretty articulate.
I don't know if you know this about me, but yeah, that's true. This time in your life, when you're in high school and when you're a teenager, you're kind of figuring out who you are, and there's different parts of yourself. So there's lots of different music on the soundtrack that reflects
and
that.
There also be something very tropey ended up happening with a lot of teen movies where that click type of mentality
it
stuck, but it also felt forced in a lot of movies where you're. It felt unrealistic. And Clueless, it's never felt more realistic. You're like, right. That's like how it actually is. You know right. what I mean? Like, whereas, like, She's All That, it's like...
It's defined.
Yeah, it's very over the top.
Yeah.
It, to the point where that's where, like, Not Another Teen Movie is making fun of it. You know what I mean? Like that. Anyway.
And you get me to get introduced to Paul Rudd from that movie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's wonderful. Yeah.
And Alicia Silverstone is...
She crushes
it. I cannot
it.
Think of a better person to portray that character. She fucking nails it.
Yeah.
She will be always be remembered for Clueless.
Yeah.
That is like her movie, I think.
And Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
That's for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked her as Batgirl.
She's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I had nothing against her. The movie overall
is great. I'm
Clueless is great, not Batman and Robin.
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of an apologist for Batman
not,
and Robin.
You may or may not have a song. You may not have the may or may not have the Batman and Robin soundtrack on your list.
I may or may not.
If this
not.
Was like Batman Forever, I'd be okay with it, but
I don't know.
Batman, I feel like that's the bottom All right. tier. But go ahead.
Yeah, what's Ooh. Your next one?
So, my next one, going in the teen high school vein, is Every You and Every Me from the Cruel Intentions soundtrack. This is a Placebo song.
You're a big Placebo girl.
Yeah, I love Placebo. They're kind of an alt-rock, punkish kind of band from London. This song really stuck out to me as a standout on the soundtrack just because it feels so different than other things that are on the soundtrack. But again, this soundtrack kind of reflects the different characters in the movie. So Cruel Intentions is Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon and Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair, kind of the hot commodities of the late 90s, early 2000s.
Darker movie, too.
It is a darker movie.
Especially because you probably would put it in that teen movie category, but it doesn't feel like She's All That or Can't Hardly Wait. It's
right.
definitely
it's
darker
a,
and
it's
heavier.
It's definitely a more,
more
mature.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
It's almost like I almost put it in the same category, almost as like a Heathers type thing.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit less, it takes itself more seriously than Heathers does,
yes.
I would say.
Yeah.
But I in terms of subject matter and the general heaviness of it, definitely more in that vein than like She's All That.
It's not a
bubblegum teen
movie.
It's
not a feel good
no.
drop.
It does have some Fatboy Slim on the soundtrack, though. Praise You is on the soundtrack.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but it also has, again, kind of that heavier music. Colorblind from Counting Crows, which is a great song, is also on the soundtrack. Coffee and TV from Blur is on the soundtrack. Bittersweet Symphony from The Verve is on the soundtrack. So it's a lot of, like, heavier kind of melodic songs that were popular at the time, but it's not your standard like teen
Bittersweet
movie.
Symphony is such a good song.
Yeah, it really is. And that comes at a part in the movie where the characters are kind of coming to terms with the events of the movie and how they're going to move on with their lives. And it's a Reese Witherspoon spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't seen Cruel Intentions. Ryan Phillippe's character dies. And Reese Witherspoon plays his love interest in the movie, and she kind of inherits his car. And his character is kind of like a Casanova playboy, and he keeps a journal of all of his like conquests. And she is driving in his car down the highway, listening to Bittersweet Symphony, and she's like kind of ripping pages out of the journal, and they're like flying into the wind, kind of thing.
That's how you end a movie, right there.
Right. So it's like a life is kind of bittersweet and we take what we get from it. But this song too, like there's so many characters kind of using each other and playing off of that. And it's kind of like everybody for themselves. I just thought it's a nice summation of the events of the movie. And it's my favorite song from the soundtrack.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
So my next one I will go with, so it's three. I'm going to go with Detroit Rock City.
Nice.
From Detroit Rock City.
Fucking love this song.
You're the first person
to
show me this movie.
It's one of my all-time favorite movies. I was obsessed with the soundtrack after the movie. I think partially because I was obsessed with the movie. I'd still put it probably in my top 10 favorite movies of all time.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor. Go watch it right now.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's a period piece in that it takes place in the 70s at the height of Kiss's...
Kiss Army right there.
Yeah, Kiss Army. And it takes place in Detroit. There's these four main characters. They're best friends. They have a band. They're obsessed with Kiss. Yes, Mystery with the Kiss S. And they are headed to the Kiss show in Detroit. Shenanigans happen. Things go awry. But the soundtrack is full of classics. You got some Thin Lizzy on there. Mm-hmm. And Surrender is on there. Yeah. It's great. Jailbreak. Everclear does a great cover of Boys Are Back in Town. So it's just kind of those classic rock 70s standards that are really fun and just very rock heavy, rock based. Yeah.
And you get
soundtrack.
Actually, Kiss is in the movie. You get them in
there. Yeah, Kiss is in the movie. They play this song in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like they use the songs that they pick really well. Like one of the main characters, Jam, played by Sam Huntington of Jungle to Jungle fame,
mm-hmm.
is sent to a boarding school by his mom to try to take him away from his friends that are bad influences. So they play Jailbreak when they're going to break him out of the boarding school. So they use the music really well.
Yeah, it's...
to complement the events of the story.
This movie, just like a fun little story behind it. My freshman year of college, I was in a forced triple, and
me too.
Yeah, it sucked. Yeah. But me and my roommates did not get along. I mean, we weren't like mean or anything, but like we weren't friends basically. And then me and one of my roommates, we bonded over this movie. He's like, "Hey, you want to hang out and watch a movie?" I was like, he was a very bro-y kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and he's like, I got these. And he showed me like his movies. And I was like, oh, okay. Awesome. And this is like the one right on top. I was like, I fucking love this movie. It's like, it's one of my favorite movies. So I was like, let's put it on. And we bonded over this and our hatred of our other roommate. So it worked great.
this movie, I would watch it like every weekend and sometimes like every other day after school, and it's one of those ones where it would finish, the DVD menu would come back up, and I would just restart it,
like, play it over.
Yeah, I loved it so much. I still love it. I haven't watched it in a while, but
it's funny.
It's a great one.
It's like the coming of age, but the soundtrack really does make it as well.
Right.
It's great. Another movie, very like Role Models, where it's like glorifies Kiss in a really funny way.
Yeah.
And not like they don't take themselves too seriously in it. And
when you popped up, when you thought of Detroit Rock City, I was like, Kiss also does that. Role Models does a really good job of Kiss, too.
What if I secretly love Kiss and that's why I love Detroit Rock City and Role Models so much?
That's
like Brian, and he loves like all his favorite movies have Queen Latifah in it.
Kiss is at the heart of all my favorite movies.
Also, I love Kiss. Kiss was one. It was my favorite. They were my first concert.
That is a pretty epic first concert.
Yeah, it really is.
It was cool. Put on a hell of a show. All those pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
It's very... I mean, it wasn't as grand as they showed in the movie, like the concert at the end, but it was pretty cool. It was very similar.
Oh, man, it's so triumphant when they finally get to that show.
Yeah, he catches the drumstick.
Movie. All right, so
this brings us to your final one,
My final choice, yeah, which I thought was very fitting. It's another one of my favorite movies, and the movie is very much based on top five lists and favorites.
Such a good theme for that movie.
And the importance of music in one's life. So I have picked, I Believe When I Fall in Love Again, It'll Be Forever by Stevie Wonder from the High Fidelity soundtrack.
Okay.
This is my standout track from the soundtrack.
I knew you would put a song from High Fidelity on your playlist, mm-hmm. which is why I didn't put one on mine. But this movie is so good. The soundtrack's so goddamn good. I don't want to steal your thunder, Goat. Take it away, Kim.
So all I'm going to say about why I picked this specific song from the soundtrack, aside from the fact that I love Stevie Wonder, is that I think this song is a good kind of theme for the main character, John Cusack's character in the movie, because the whole movie he's spending time going through his past relationships and his past loves and what's gone wrong, and by the time that he reunites with his main love interest and significant other in the movie, he's kind of like in it for the end game, and he, you know, when I fall in love again, it'll be forever. It's his end game relationship in his eyes. And I like to think one of the favorite things for soundtracks about me is they feel kind of like an ultimate mixtape. And that's his character's whole thing throughout the whole movie. He just loves making people mixtapes. He makes himself mixtapes. Mm-hmm. So the soundtrack for High Fidelity kind of feels like a mixtape for the viewer of the movie. And this is the main track that he's putting on the mixtape that he's making at the end of the movie for Laura, his ultimate end game. So I feel like it's a nice full circle song choice for that.
Good call.
But there's a ton of great music on that, like Walking on Sunshine. Mm-hmm. That's such a great scene in that movie.
Yeah.
Peter Frampton. I love when he's like, is that Peter fucking Frampton? just the relationship that movie has to music is great. Mm-hmm. The cameo by Bruce Springsteen is great when he's like imagining Bruce Springsteen's like counseling him on his like relationship, and he's like, so I should like talk to her about it because then she'll feel better. And he's like, she'll feel better maybe, but you'll feel better.
Yeah. I also love the scene where the guy comes into the record store. So John Cusack's character like owns a record store and Jack Black works there.
Tim Robbins, is that the scene you're talking about?
No, but that is a great scene. That the random like dad comes in and he's like, I'm looking for Lionel Richie's Hello for my daughter. She really loves that song. And Jack Black is like, nobody loves that song. Do you even really know your daughter? It's just great. But the Tim Robbins plays John.
Oh, is she in a coma?
Tim Robbins is John Cusack's upstairs neighbor that ends up like stealing his girlfriend for a while.
Which I just now realized is like the absolute basis for Pete Holmes' wife's
boyfriend
who she cheats on him with in Crashing.
Yeah.
Same exact type of hippie character.
Yeah, so Tim Robbins is like a hippie character. He's got like a long wavy ponytail and he wears like a lot of bracelets and shit, and he like comes into the store to talk to John Cusack, and John Cusack kicks him out. He's like, you and your patchouli stink out of my store. Yeah, so whenever I hear patchouli, I just think of that.
That was like the first movie I saw that really played with the fourth wall a lot, because he's talking to
the
audience like the whole time. But then there are scenes like that too, where it's like they show him like him and the other employees like beating the shit out of Tim Robbins, and then it flashes back, and that's just like what he wished could happen in his mind.
It's like a surreal sequence,
exactly. Like, and this was really the first movie the first comedy that I'd seen that was kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's such a good movie. Such a good soundtrack. Anything else you want to say about it before we move on to another one of our playlists?
The soundtrack is great. If you haven't read the book, which High Fidelity is based on, every chapter starts with a top five list, which is kind of interesting. They're all musically driven, so cool. Check it out.
This movie has one of my favorite lines of all time, which is, am I miserable because I listen to pop music, or do I listen to pop music because I'm miserable?
It's a good one.
Here's what I'm thinking, Shinmo. Why don't I go next and then we'll close with yours? Are you cool with that?
That's perfectly fine.
We'll wrap it up with some honorable mentions after we each get through our playlist.
What if I said no? Would you have been like, too bad?
I would defer to you because I'm a very conscientious host.
Okay,
this is very true. That's a true fact about you.
All right, so I'm gonna start with Vindicated by Dashboard Confessional on the Spider-Man 2 soundtrack. Spider-Man 2's soundtrack is like the only soundtrack I can say that I've ever like listened to a bunch, because it came out, like Spider-Man 2 came out at a very formative time in my life. A lot of the music on it was in the pop punk or emo vein, which I was really into at the time. So it was just like so musically up my alley. And then that movie is great. I think it's to date the best Spider-Man movie made. Homecoming was really good. I love that movie a lot too.
It's one of the greatest comic book movies or superhero films, whatever you call it, of all time.
By far, it's the best of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Because I feel like I still like the first one better.
I think it's the best.
I enjoy the first one, but the second one, in my head, like I haven't watched it in probably a year or two, I'd say. But it is far and away one of the greatest superhero movies of all time.
Absolutely. And I think the soundtrack works with it really well too, because one of the major kind of plot points of the movie is that obviously Peter Parker loves Mary Jane, and she is
engaged to Jonah Jameson's son. So it's him trying to do his best to be like a good friend to her and be supportive. Meanwhile, he's in love with her while she's engaged. And so there's that, like the kind of emo strand of the music just ties in so well to that. And it works well in the context of a superhero as well, because part of the reason that he can't really like fully be there for her is because he's fighting crime and he's dedicated his life to helping people, and but that just eats into his ability to be there for the people that he loves the most. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I just think the soundtrack does a really good job of mirroring those themes. Plus it's got this song obviously, but it's also got songs by Midtown, probably like the last great song that Midtown ever did. No offense, guys. Taking Back Sunday's got a great Taking Back Sunday song on there. I think Paramore, I want to say, does a song on there too. I think they do a cover of My Hero by Foo Fighters,
which was like the predominant song in the first movie.
Yeah.
So a lot of good stuff on there, and just all told, it was a perfect confluence in my life of a movie that was so up my alley and a soundtrack that was so up my alley, and the two of those things just pairing so well together.
Mm-hmm. I just somehow imagine you with like your headphones on, like secretly like trying to like swing like from like a rope. So I'm like, I could be Spider-Man to the soundtrack. I can do this.
I when I was a junior in high school, I had like a really emo summer where I sat outside on my porch every day for like hours at a time listening to Dashboard Confessionals, A Mark, A Mission, A Brand, A Scar on repeat, sketching in my sketchbook.
That is the most emo thing I've ever heard of in my life.
You're a very emo person.
Yeah, it's true.
That's so fucking funny, though.
go ahead.
Well, I was going to go on to my next one. So if you've got a thought to finish, by all means.
It's not musically related at all, so we can move on.
This one might be controversial. So because this movie hasn't come out yet.
All right.
This is from the Black Panther soundtrack. It just came out. We're recording this on a Saturday. This just came out yesterday. They had pre-released a couple of songs off the album.
Like what was going to be on it for like I'd say a week or two ago, but the actual soundtrack just came out.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I had already heard like three of the songs and really, really liked them. I listened to the full soundtrack yesterday and today and really, really love it. I can't wait to see how they incorporate these songs into the movie, which comes out next weekend.
That's how I actually made my list, how the songs are used in movies is how I made my list. So it makes me, because this is such a good soundtrack, it makes me very excited to see how they
I really like a lot of the songs on the soundtrack.
So this song is Kendrick Lamar and SZA, which I'm obsessed with SZA right now. I can't remember if I've mentioned that on the show before or not, but I just her album Control that came out last year was easily one of my favorite albums that came out last year. It's so up my alley musically. She's got a great voice, a great songwriter. So I was immediately sold when I saw that she was going to be featured on this album. And then I don't know if you guys know this, but basically Kendrick Lamar executive produced this entire album.
I didn't know. Yep.
And he was originally only supposed to do a couple of songs off of it, but then the director showed him a good chunk of the movie, and he was like so pumped on the movie that he was like, "No, I'm doing this whole album."
Yeah.
And so he's featured on it throughout. And Kendrick Lamar, if you are not exposed to him at all, is just a monster. He's undeniably the best rapper working today, in my opinion. And so he just shines throughout the album. But he's got so many great people featured on here. We already mentioned SZA. The Weeknd is on here.
Travis Scott.
Just so much of the best hip-hop talent that's out there right now is featured on this album, and I can't wait to see how they incorporate it. The first time this song is not on the record, but the first Black Panther trailer that came out featured a song by Run the Jewels.
It was awesome,
and that trailer just made me be like so pumped for this movie. I really liked how Black Panther, I liked that the way that character
was used in Civil War, but I didn't know what this movie would be like. But that trailer pumped me up, and a huge part of it was that Run the Jewels song, and a lot of the music on this soundtrack gives me that same like pumped up feeling. And I talked over it like an asshole, but Kendrick Lamar's rap on this song is fire.
I'm really excited for this movie, and a lot of the music on this is just so cool. Like, I know that that sounds like a lame adjective, but it's just like the beats are awesome, the raps are really tight. I'm really excited to see how it all comes together. And I was reading today that Donald Glover, and his brother came in and did some like script doctoring on the script a little bit too. So
they just gave notes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Makes me even more excited for it because I'm a huge fan of his.
Yes, we'll see how it comes. I was just thinking, you know, rap, Donald Glover, Childish Gambino. That's how I got there.
I mean, that's
just explain.
Have you watched Atlanta, Chimo?
I have not, but it's like one of the.
Oh, I think you really like it.
I know season two comes out soon, so I'll probably. Yeah. There's a good chance I'll watch it before season two. I'm a fan of basically all things Donald Glover, so.
Who's not?
That's true.
He's great.
Let's see. Which one do I want to go with next? Let's go with Love Fool from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is just all around. This is peak 90s.
Cat just immediately started like bouncing and bopping as soon as you started playing it.
And I can't blame her because this is, in my opinion, possibly the best dance pop song of all time.
Yeah, it's
because I mean, so if you're comparing it to its peers, you're talking about Love Shack, pretty much anything the B-52s have done, maybe some Jamiroquai, and this song takes the cake for me. It's so irresistible. You can't not dance to it while it's on, and it's got a both the chorus and verse are very different and very catchy. And earwormy in their own ways. I just hands down love this song, and it's one of those songs that a lot of one hit wonder types of bands have, where you listen to it and you're like, I bet I'll like anything this band does, and then you listen to their other albums and you're like, meh. Yeah. but no, this song is incredible. It's got a lot of other great 90s bands on it, like Everclear and Garbage and Radiohead. Mm-hmm. But the other great thing that I love about it, and like we talked about, is how not just the songs being great, but how they're used in the movie. And the way, if you haven't seen it, this is
it's a great movie.
Modern retelling of the Shakespeare classic, but they use the dialogue from the actual Shakespeare play, so it feels very anachronistic because you've got this old English being used in the context of modern day. I want to say it's L.A.
Yeah, it's actually Verona Beach, California.
Yeah, it's like two mafia families instead of like what have you. So what I love about it,
Capulets.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So what I love about it is the music is very. Dated in the sense that it all feels very, very 90s. Mm-hmm. And I think that works so well in the context of this movie because it's riffing on time. Yeah. And because it's anachronistic, it's like it makes sense that what you're watching is extremely 90s and ties back to the day in which the play was written. But also the music is very specific to that same time. So to have it playing over this dialogue from hundreds of years ago just reinforces what they're going for in the movie so well.
Yeah. It's a hyper stylized movie.
Oh, very much so.
And not all of it holds up either, I would say. Like, I think the thing that really, really bothers me about that movie is that the guns are all branded at, like, the gun brands are like sword and dagger just to justify the dialogue when it's like, just call it a gun. Like, who cares? Like, change that one line and it's fine.
Yeah, or even, like, if you want to play on it as, like, you're using your gun as your weapon, but, like, this is your sword fight or whatever. Like, everyone, you're drawing. It's a battle. I remember getting the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack in my stocking the year that that movie came out and flipping out because I had a huge crush on Leonardo DiCaprio at that point in time of my life, and as most women did and still do, And I mentioned on our Valentine's Day episode about the Titanic soundtrack that I took the like inner booklet for because it has all the pictures from the movies and hung it up on my wall. And I did that with the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack too because it's just full of Leonardo DiCaprio pictures and I just hung it right up on my wall.
He was to it all the time. The 90s heartthrob.
He really was. Yep. He's you know, he's still great.
Still hit that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I also really enjoy when movies like they, I mean, it's basically only Shakespeare when they, but when they use the original dialogue in modern times, Joss Whedon did one, Much Ado About Nothing.
I never saw that, but I heard it was really good.
I loved it. They put it in black and white and they use the original dialogue to it. And it's fantastic. I love when they do that.
All right. Let me do my second to last one here.
What do you got?
This is A Real Hero from the Drive soundtrack. This movie has a very retro neon 80s kind of feel to it visually, and the soundtrack just mirrors that perfectly. This is one of the most perfectly realized soundtracks, I think, in terms of matching a movie's visual aesthetic. And I think this song embodies that perfectly as well. This is kind of like the standout track, I'd say, from the soundtrack.
They played in one of the trailers, I think, didn't they?
Yeah. It's probably the most prominently featured song in the movie.
I can obviously
hear the 80s synth influence in it.
I've never seen the movie. I've heard nothing but good things. I don't know why I've never seen it. But I know this soundtrack so well just because Sean, who has been on the podcast before, listened to this for such a long time, for like all the time, and I'd always be traveling.
Sure, I could see this being so up his alley. He's a big 80s enthusiast, so that makes sense.
It is a great soundtrack.
Yeah, it is. There's some stuff on it that borders on like butt rock to me in terms of like the vocals and those types of things. So I don't love every song on this soundtrack. The reason that I picked it, again, is just how well I think it complements the visual experience of that movie. It's like, it just is basically a visual and musical love letter to the 80s, and it all works together so well as like a cohesive package.
You're very articulate tonight, sir. Doing
He's
great.
Very articulate always.
That's true.
Thanks, guys.
I shouldn't just say just tonight.
Any thoughts about any
I'm kind of
thoughts?
Just bobbing my head right
you
now.
Should
I'm
watch this. It. I mean, it's very violent.
I know he's like Ryan Gosling is a driver for criminals.
Oh yeah, do you know? Oh yeah, maybe,
I know the
maybe
premise.
It's worth mentioning, like not everybody listening would even really know what this movie's about, I guess. Yeah. But he is. It's kind of that classic trope that he is a driver for the mob, but he's more or less out. And so he kind of takes one last...
Yeah, it's like that one last
that
job.
That one last job trope kind of thing.
Pull me back in.
Exactly. But he gets pulled into like the heaviest shit that he's done as part of this one last job. And it's him trying to not only survive, but also save the lives of these people that he's come to love who moved into his building.
I know. I haven't seen it. I feel like I should. I've heard nothing but good things. But I know this movie's also famous for how he has very little dialogue and they never call him by his real name. They just call him Driver.
Yeah, he's just...
I forgot about that.
Don't even call him by anything. He's just in the credits as the driver.
Yeah, which is awesome. Very cool for a movie to pull
just
that
a
off.
Lot of
character.
A lot of great performances in this too. The villain, I'm blanking on the actor's name now.
Well, this is Ian. I can help you.
Oh, I remember Oscar Isaac is in it. It's like one of his first roles.
Ooh, I love Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac's in it. He's great.
Yeah, Carey Mulligan is also in it.
She's like the love
I'm
interest,
trying to think
right?
of the
oh,
villain.
Oh, Bryan Cranston. Well, he's not really
he's
the villain,
yeah,
but
he's
like
the
manager of the driver.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston's in it. This is such a stacked cast.
What else? I want to know who the villain is so bad now. Who is, like, what's he in?
I'm not, I probably no. won't even
I'm going to Google it.
That was so weird.
He's not usually in this type of a role.
Oh, gotcha.
He's like a nice... He comes across as a nice guy, but he's like a murderer. Like, there's a part where he, like, mercy kills somebody, and he's like, shh, shh, it's okay. Like, don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's not Albert Brooks.
It is.
Yeah,
it's Albert Brooks.
Okay.
Anyway. Ron Perlman's also in it.
Oh, yeah. He plays his partner.
Stacked with great actors.
Yeah.
It's a great cast. It's a great movie. Great soundtrack. Again, just a very well-realized project all around.
Cool.
All right, and that takes me to my last one here, which is Brandy from the Guardians 2 soundtrack. Nice. Both movies are very heavily musically influenced.
Is this why you made me go last? Because you knew this would be on my list as
no,
well?
I just wanted to break it up. I felt weird going last on my own show.
Oh, that's okay.
So I know you'll have... I know we'll talk more about Guardians in a little bit.
Guardians is also on my list, so...
But I specifically went with Guardians 2 because I love this song. And I had never heard it until this soundtrack came up, which is maybe not a cool thing to admit. But I just think this song is so well written, and I can't believe I had never heard it before this movie came out. But not only that, it's like the central theme to that movie.
Yeah, it's heavily, heavily focused in the plot.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't know the song or the movie, the idea of the song is that there's a woman who works at a bar in a local harbor town who falls in love with a guy who's kind of a wanderer or a drifter.
A sailor.
He's definitely a sailor. but he can never, you know, the main line of the chorus is my life, my love, my Brandy, you're a fine girl, what a fine wife you would be. But my life, my love, my lady is the sea. So it's that he'll never be able to fully commit to her in the way that she'll want him to. And that's kind of a central theme to Guardians, because Peter Quill's dad is like this space being.
Mm-hmm.
Who's celestial.
He's a celestial going across the universe, impregnating multiple species, trying to create a world in his own image so he can never... He very much is the sailor of this song, and it so it's prominently featured in the beginning when they show Kurt Russell and Chris Pratt's mom during their relationship during the time where Kurt Russell is on Earth, and it just works so well, and it even works its way into the way that Kurt Russell tries to sell Chris Pratt on what he's doing.
He actually sings the song a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, this was your mom's favorite song. Like, she had a beautiful voice, whatever. Like, me and you, we're the sailor. And this is that. And I was reading an article that was talking about the use of this song on the soundtrack and in the movie. And the guy, who's this by?
Looking Glass.
Yeah.
So the guy that wrote the song from Looking Glass was saying that he really liked the first Guardians and loved the soundtrack. So when he was approached by Marvel to use the song on the Volume 2 soundtrack, he was like, oh yeah, absolutely, like put it in there. So then they sent him the script and he was like, oh, not only is my song in the movie, but it's like a theme in the movie. And he was so
awesome.
Pumped about
that's
it.
So cool.
Yeah. We got through that whole song without even talking about the other great songs that are on that soundtrack.
There's
like,
so many.
Yeah, I mean,
Guardians
Electric Light Orchestra is on there.
I will say that the song that is also on the soundtrack that is not in the movie, but it was played in the trailer that I absolutely love, is Fox on the Run by Sweet.
That's
one. On the soundtrack.
It's on the soundtrack, but it's not in the movie.
Fleetwood Mac is also on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
My Sweet Lord is on there. It's a good one.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that song. Yep. George Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Come a Little Bit Closer Now with the whole Yondu and Rocket scene with basically killing all the Ravagers.
Oh, yeah. That scene's so good.
Yeah.
It's a great song, great soundtrack generally. It's part of like the gimmick of the movie, just like in the first one, that it's like his mixtape.
Yeah.
That song is definitely a standout for me. So well written, great verse, great chorus. Love the lyrics of that song, and it's used so well in that movie. I think
really
that's easily
have
one of the high points of the movie.
Oh yeah,
that song really does have like very vivid imagery. Like you can clearly imagine that seaside town and what Brandy might look like and her silver chain and just her like working in a tavern full of sailors.
And that the melancholy of that experience that's being described.
Mm-hmm.
And I love one of my, I mean, I could talk all day about that song, but I love the line, and Brandy does her best to understand.
Yeah.
There's something about that that I just is so relatable.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of heartbreaking too.
Yeah. It's very bittersweet.
Yeah. Great, great pick, Tim. Great pick.
Thanks, buddy. That's my last one. So I think it's time for you.
You know what? We'll just keep rolling it. Cause I mean, you went with Guardians 2. I'll go with Guardians 1 because I kind of put both of them on my list. So we'll just stick with 1 since we just talked about 2. But the standout song for me, at least, is Come and Get Your Love from Redbone. It's not the very opening of the scene, but it's when you first meet like the grown-up Star-Lord and he's going in to find the sphere and stuff. And all of a sudden... This song sets the tone for the whole movie.
Yeah, 100%.
Like the opening scene is like very dark and dramatic when his mom kind of dies. Well, she does die. But, and then you see
him just like hanging on by a thread.
Yeah. But then you see him go into these ruins and you see him put on his headphones, click into the cassette, and then this starts and he's dancing to it. And I was just like, fuck yeah, I am ready for this
movie. I feel like everybody who watched that movie from the moment that scene happened was like, I am on board with this.
Mm-hmm. It sold to me instantly.
And it's so, you're so used to the Marvel universe by that point because we've had so many movies up until that point.
Yeah, that was double digits.
And if you described that to me on paper, I would be like, that doesn't fit in a world with Avengers. And not because those movies, I mean, they definitely don't take themselves too seriously. There's a lot of great humor in those movies. Mm-hmm. But I would say this is a bridge too far. But you watch it and it just fucking works.
Yeah.
And
it is
so joy-filled. This was the most joy-filled movie experience that I had to date. And I, like all of us, we're all huge Star Wars fans. I had been yearning for a new Star Wars movie and that movie came out and I was like, this like scratched that Star Wars itch for me. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and
I was just saying, it breathed so much life into the franchise at that point because it was kind of getting a little bit stale. And this just like brings the fun back to it. And it's like, a superhero movie can be fun. An outer space adventure can be fun. It's not all dark. It's not all grisly. Like, just embrace it. Have a good time.
James Gunn did a masterful job of putting the script and movie together. I was excited. Like, I love the team-up movies anyway, and I remember seeing just the concept art for this, and I was like, yes. And then as soon as this song starts playing in the very beginning, I was just completely sold. It is my favorite Marvel movie.
Yeah.
To date.
I think that's true for me too.
And it's not even just the song. Hooked on a Feeling is probably the most prominently known song from that.
Yeah.
They use it in the trailer and stuff. Even got the line. Hooked on a Feeling, Blue Swede, 1973, or whatever it is. And it gets hit. But this is the one that stuck out for me most, just because, I mean, it's super,
this is a
super
great,
catchy.
Great pick from this.
And I mean,
and again, like we said, it's the first moment that just really pulls you in
and
cues you into what this movie is.
Yeah. I mean, their face off with Ronan, they have a dance off with the big bad of the movie. Yeah.
What are you doing? Dance off.
And this movie, I think, was the start of the trend towards more comedy driven Marvel movies.
It is,
and this, and because of that, I think this is the best balance.
Yeah.
Because it was the pivot. They've got like kind of overshot it a little bit on even, I would say, Guardians 2 and on Thor a little bit. Ragnarok. Still, I love that direction, and this was like the progenitor of that, and I still think the best mix of action and comedy that Marvel has done.
They even the soundtrack, they even get slow at points when he's kind of smooth talking Gamora with I Fooled Around and Fell in Love. Excellent song.
That song's so good. Yeah.
They use Jackson 5 towards the end of this soundtrack. I own 2 CDs in my car. They're in my car, and both are Guardians Volume 1 and Guardians Volume 2.
If I had to pick between the two, I honestly probably would pick Volume 1.
I think it
probably is a little bit better than
I love them
Volume
both,
2.
But I would agree with you there. All right, we have to move on, so I'm just going to keep talking.
Same here. What's your second one?
So my second one, I'll stick with the theme of being used so well in a movie and go to Baby Driver. And I guess the standout song for me, at least, would be Radar Love, Gold Earring. But this movie, it was one of my absolute favorites of the year. And this song in particular, I think they used it in one of the trailers, I think. I've actually always been a fan of this song. I don't know why. It just kind of gets you pumped and like ready to go. But it's, they use it towards the end of the movie when he's like literally racing to almost save his life, basically. And it's used great. And just like Guardians, the music itself becomes a character in this movie from the very beginning. He used the Bell Bottom song in the beginning when he's just sitting
in
the car.
I fucking love that song.
I came very close to putting that as like my pick for the song.
When we left this movie, I had purchased the soundtrack before we even left the theater. And I listened to it pretty much every day for 3 weeks straight. And it got me so pumped to just be in the car.
Yeah.
And that Bell Bottoms one especially, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go 90 miles an hour and it's going to be great.
Cat lost her license.
Shortly after.
Real serious problem.
I will say, I saw this movie 2 or 3 times in the theaters, I think. And the last time I saw it with a couple friends. I'll say Jeff, Craig, Rachel, hey guys. But we were driving, we left there, and I was driving. And I was driving Jeff's car, and it was a rental. And I was like, Jeff's a rental. Like, and we went all, we went to a parking lot. We were going like 90. We were doing donuts. Playing the soundtrack, and it was the best.
This is one of those movies where, like, this is going to sound wicked stupid, but the soundtrack is a character?
Shinmo literally said that.
Oh, you did just say that? Sorry.
And you're stupid. Both losers.
But just, like, the way that the action syncs up to the music, mm-hmm. that one of the last chase scenes where, like, Jon Hamm is shooting a gun and it's matching up to the Queen. Drum beat,
oh my God,
is so incredible. Cool. That must have taken so long to edit and choreograph. So,
even the very beginning, well, not the very beginning, but when he's going to, like, get coffee and all the words and everything are splattered throughout the streets.
It's just, it's so well done. It must have taken so much time and thought, and, like, you can tell how much effort Edgar Wright just like poured into this movie.
Literally, I don't want to like
easily. It's easily the second best crime driver soundtrack of this episode.
I don't want to get like too punny, but like beat for beat, it sticks through the whole movie, and it's fantastic.
It's great.
If you haven't seen the movie, see it. It's great.
Agreed. We'll talk a little bit about this some more down the road when we get to our honorable mentions. I've also got an Edgar Wright song or soundtrack on my list of honorable mentions.
Interesting.
I'm actually very curious now.
What's your next one, Shin?
My next one, I guess I'm going to go with, just because it's from my childhood, the Space Jam soundtrack. Who doesn't love this theme? This is so good. This Space like Jam. I grew up with this was what 96 came out. This was like the song to play. Mm-hmm. Even now, it gets you pumped, it gets you going.
Yeah, and I love for it. Sure.
Absolutely love it. I used to be a cheerleader, and we would do these competitions in the springtime, and one of our routines was choreographed to this song.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I remember maybe 6 months ago, Kat was traveling for work, and I was just home alone. I watched a movie that like I actually wanted to watch until like midnight, and then this came on right afterwards, and I was like, I'm not going to watch this movie. And then I watched way more of it than I expected to, because I was like,
good movie.
Riveted.
It's a fancy, not even just this one theme, but they, you get Steve Miller on there, Fly Like an Eagle, R. Kelly, I Believe I Can Fly. I remember I was in first grade when this movie came out, and everybody was obsessed with it. And I remember we did a thing in first grade. Was it the Maypole? You know what I'm talking about? You walk around the pole.
Yeah.
And our teacher let us sing, I Believe I Can Fly. She's like, you guys can sing that song that you all love.
That doesn't even
correlate
at all.
It makes no sense, but she let us do it. It was awesome.
I'm just imagining a bunch of little kids being like,
that's exactly what it was. It's exactly what it was.
Was that the only way she could like convince you to do that activity?
Basically, yeah. But everybody in the class was like, oh, fuck yeah, let's do it. Cool. This is going to be awesome. It was so funny. Stupid. Yeah. But, yeah. It's a great soundtrack.
Kat is inconsolable
she
over
can't
here.
Get over it.
For those of you who can't see her right now.
Oh God, that's so dumb.
It's stupid. It's incredibly dumb. But it happened.
It's a great, great movie. Like, yeah. I mean,
Bill Murray in this movie.
Bill Murray steals the show. Wayne Knight's pretty funny too.
Fixing a divot. Michael Jordan.
The animation is great. If you love Looney Tunes, it's a great Looney Tunes movie. If nothing else.
Oh yeah.
I had Marvin the Martian, Chuck Taylor, like high top Chuck Taylors from this movie. They were bright red, and it was like Marvin the Martian and his little like space jam.
Awesome.
There's a picture of me and my brother somewhere wearing those sneakers at the same time.
Sweet. The Toon Squad versus the Monstars. That's the way they do it. I've only ever played fantasy basketball once because my friends in college needed an extra player. I was like, I don't know anything about basketball. I was like, I'll only do it if my team will be the Monstars.
And they were like,
went undefeated. They were pissed because I only picked big players that I knew. But
pick the actual Monstar players like Charles Barkley?
No, they were they had all been way retired. But yeah, this was great. And my next one would be Wayne's World, the soundtrack to Wayne's World, particularly, of course, Bohemian Rhapsody. The scene in which this song is used is, I dare say, one of the most like iconic uses of a song in a movie. Like everybody,
for sure, yeah.
If you hear this song, you're immediately starting. You want a headbang towards the end of it.
I didn't know this song until I saw this movie. Just because this movie came out when I was really young.
Yep.
So I like only associated it with this, and I thought it was like written for this movie.
I guess Mike Myers had to fight incredibly hard to have this song in the movie, and I'm so happy he won that fight.
Yeah, what was the original song that they were going to, or the alternate song they were going to use in its place?
I'm not
gonna I read
remember.
This recently, but I don't remember.
It would not have nearly had the same impact as Bohemian Rhapsody. But the soundtrack in general is great, and again, how it's actually used in the movie, like the whole scene with Bohemian Rhapsody, them driving in the car, is awesome. But then they use Foxy Lady when Garth has the fantasy about his waitress, and he's actually like lip syncing, like mouthing it to her, is one of the funniest scenes
in
the
good,
movie.
Yeah,
it falls. Oh, sorry, I fell. But then they use just a great Dreamweaver when he first sees Cassandra singing, and he goes into like his kind of fantasy, like, oh wow, the dream state. And then I also really like the use of Ballroom Blitz.
Yeah, totally.
I'm blanking on her name, the woman that plays Cassandra. I can't remember.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
I'll have to look at it in a second, but I can't remember. But she does a great cover of the song. She sings it. But yeah, this is just, I'm a big fan of classic rock in general. It's kind of how I was brought up and raised on classic rock, and to see all these songs used not only so well, but
Tia Carrera,
there we go, great voice. They not only used just so well in general, but so comedically, and still use this, like, they don't change the songs anyway, but how they portray it in the movie, it's great, and it's one of my favorite movies ever. So
I just checked. It was going to be a Guns N' Roses song because the production company wanted to use Guns N' Roses for that scene because they were the most popular band at the time.
Was it Welcome to the Jungle or just any?
It just said Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. I like Guns N' Roses, but not.
But this, like,
Queen is my favorite
makes
band.
This scene.
This makes the movie almost. Actually,
it's one of the most memorable scenes in the movie by far.
For sure.
I cannot tell you how often. Where if this song came on in like one of my friend's cars, not only is it a great sing-along song, but then when you got to the part coming up very shortly, you started to headbang without a doubt, and it was the best.
You said that in such a square way. You're like, and then when it got to the next part coming up, one would start to headbang.
One would start to bang their head.
I mean, one must when
simply
confronted
must bang
with
their head.
The breakdown of Bohemian Rhapsody.
I kind of wish someone could see the two of you and how you just looked at each other and went off. And I just said, I'm like, I'm just going to let them go. They're making fun of me, but they're really into it. So
I saw a really stupid video recently where someone was like, if Bohemian Rhapsody was a drama and they just like spoke out the lyrics and acted out the story of the guy like going to his mom and being like, I just shot this guy and I'm gonna go on the run now and fight off these people, and it was very dumb and I was upset that I wasted like 5 minutes of my day on that.
This song is actually about someone in the electric chair, which is crazy. I didn't find that out until a few years ago. Tim's mouthing the words right now as we're talking, and it's great because his facial expression is amazing. And headbang.
This is actually the second time this song has been featured on this show. We talked about the cover version by Lake Street Dive.
Yes.
Which is also great.
This is, but yeah, the whole soundtrack overall, the movie overall is great.
I just punched the mic because I was so into it.
Right?
It's easy. That was expensive.
Gets you amped. Gets you going. Even the second movie is great too, but this movie with the soundtrack is just incredible.
Agreed. Yeah. You want to close this out with your last one here?
My last one. I'm going to go with the Back to the Future soundtrack. A little Huey Lewis in the News. Power of Love.
You know what else is a great soundtrack? Maybe I should save this for honorable mentions, but American Psycho.
I almost put that on my list.
When this came up, I was like, I fucking love the soundtrack. And I was like, Huey Lewis in the News is also really great in American Psycho.
Yeah, and there are full chapters in the book. So when Patrick Bateman goes into his dialogues about Huey Lewis in the News and Whitney Houston or whatever, those are full chapters in the book, like 15 pages long. I almost put it on my list for that reason, but I didn't.
But I stuck with Back to the Future because it's one of my favorite movies of all time. Trilogy-wise, I love all three of them. I'm not including the score on this, Alan Silvestri's score, which is amazing. But just the, like, you get Huey Lewis in the News. They even use Johnny B. Goode, little Chuck Berry.
Yeah, it's a very cool mixture of modern music and classics at that time.
You get Mr. Sandman in there when he's kind of walking around the town when he first goes back to the 50s.
I love how frequently the scene of him performing at the dance is like satirized.
It's used so often. So many different pop culture references.
Yeah, they
TV, movies, books, everything.
There's a show, Future Man, on Hulu, which is great, and it deals with time travel, and there's one character that goes back to the 60s and he goes to a party on the same night as the moon landing, and he's wearing an astronaut suit and he's in a dance off and decides to do the moonwalk, and this guy picks up the phone and he's like, hey, Tito, you know how your little brother Michael's looking for a new move? Well, let me describe this one to you.
That's such a perfectly constructed joke.
That's awesome.
And the stand-up special we were watching last night was talking about how people have taken jazz and made like smooth jazz. And they were like,
that smooth jazz is, quote, the jazz white people have got their hands on.
Yeah. It was like, do you need music to throw pebbles into the nearby lake too? But it was the same kind of thing where it was like, hey, Marvin, this is your cousin, Steve Barry. Listen to this. Like, it's so often mimicked, but it's hilarious. Scene,
it's great.
No, your brother's always looking for songs for people to kill themselves to. We can't do it justice. So much of that comedian's, the magic of his stuff is in his delivery. So check out Rory Scovel if you get a chance.
And if you've never seen
Back
to the Future,
fucking funny.
Check out Back to the Future.
Also, Back to the Future's great.
But the whole Johnny B. Goode scene's great because then he goes into a whole like Van Halen type thing.
Yeah.
I even love how they put, when he tries to convince his dad to go to the dance, puts the headphones on him and just plays Van Halen shredding on guitar.
Yeah.
Because they have no idea what that sounds like. But back in time when they're going through. But I think they play actually this entire song at the beginning when he's kind of, when he's on a skateboard.
Pretty much,
hooking onto cars and stuff like that.
And the, you were talking about this earlier, the fact that it has like Sandman and like things like that, where it's
'50s.
Yeah, exactly. And that is so cool too that they use the passage of time, mm-hmm. not only, you know, in the actual story, but also in the soundtrack of the movie. There's something really great about that.
Even that whole when he's performing at the concert, when after he goes out and like everybody's into it at first, and then it goes to the audience, they're all standing like, "What the fuck was that?" And then he's like, "So I guess you're not ready for that. And
your kids are gonna love it." Yeah, it's such a good line.
It's so good. But those would be my picks for some of my absolute favorite soundtracks.
Let me be the first to kick off our honorable mention section. I'm going to start with one that I could not bring myself to put on my actual list because I can't claim to actually like this soundtrack. I just want to celebrate it because I can't believe it exists. And that is the 1989 Batman soundtrack, completely by Prince. And it's just insane that not only is it a Batman movie by Tim Burton, mm-hmm. all the music is Prince. And I'm going to put this song on now. It has its own dance to it. It's called Bat Dance.
I got
to
tell you, as crazy as all those things sound, it made for one hell of a movie.
The movie's great.
Yeah.
This soundtrack has no place in it.
It's
there's like two parts
so
where
weird.
There are two parts where like a Prince song is featured pretty prominently, and it works for that part. It definitely dates the movie really hard.
It does. Yeah.
But in general, the fact that this soundtrack
when Joker starts
is
painting the museum,
just
right?
like funky Prince tunes is so weird because it's one of the darker takes on Batman. I would say
it's a very dark movie. But yeah, this is when he starts painting, right? Am I wrong on that?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so fucking weird.
You're absolutely right. I can't believe this is real.
Isn't this the weirdest thing you've ever heard of? That Prince did the soundtrack to a Batman movie? That would be like Justin Timberlake doing it to a Christopher Nolan Batman movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it is so tonally inappropriate.
He did do the soundtrack for Trolls, though.
That's true. That's a damn catchy soundtrack.
It's
and absolutely not
way
the same.
More appropriate.
I know it's way more appropriate. I'm just saying Justin Timberlake has curated a soundtrack.
We don't need to listen to this whole thing. This song is going.
This all that reminds me of is the scene in Shaun of the Dead when they're going through all the records to throw the zombie. He's like, "But no, I really like it." It's like Batman soundtrack. Throw it.
Other quick honorable mentions, I'll just say Scott Pilgrim. That was my Edgar Wright mention.
Oh, okay.
A bunch of songs by Beck on it, and a couple other great tunes of the song Ramona on there. All the songs that are by the main band of the movie Sex Ba-Bomb are great. I think my favorite of theirs is We Are Sex Ba-Bomb. That's a great song.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. That movie's just so goddamn fun
so
all around.
Good.
It makes me so upset that it kind of bombed at the theater.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic movie.
Very underrated.
Yeah.
I feel like
all Edgar Wright movies are.
I think Baby Driver probably was the most
commercial successful.
Yeah. There's a song on the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack, Oh Katrina.
Is it really?
Yeah. But when the band has like a British accent, so when they sing it, it sounds like Okajima.
I know the song you're talking about now. Oh, wow. Okay.
Last honorable mention of mine is Garden State. There's a ton of great music on there.
Yeah, that's a really solid soundtrack.
It's got The Shins. It's got that song Let Go by Frou Frou, a.k.a. Imogen Heap, which is great. It's just a great movie, great soundtrack, but didn't quite make the cut.
Yeah. The Garden State soundtrack and the Last Kiss soundtrack both feel like very excellent mixtapes that your college boyfriend made for you.
Well, good. Wow.
Yeah.
Good way to put it there.
Chester.
Chester.
Chimo, you're next.
I'm up next. So I guess my honorable mention would be the Dazed and Confused soundtrack.
That's a good one.
Like I said, I absolutely love classic rock. And then this Slow Ride from Foghat, just hanging out with a bunch of friends, cruising around. They show it's so Richard Linklater. Jeez, I can't talk. Richard Linklater. absolutely fantastic movie. It really gives that vibe of the 70s. And just school's out, and you're kind of just hanging with friends, partying, and I love the movie, but the soundtrack really makes it come alive. Between they use this, they actually use school's out when they actually get out of school, No More Miss a Nice Guy when they're beating the shit out of the kid with the paddle. Even when Matthew McConaughey's character first goes into the Emporium, they play Hurricane by Bob Dylan, which is used. They only use like maybe 30 seconds of it, but it's absolutely perfect. So this is a great movie, honorable mention for a soundtrack. A couple other honorable mentions, I'd say. We actually talked about this a little bit. The American Pie soundtrack. Just because growing up in the 90s, I love the like the pop punk. Like Blink, sure. Blink 182 is in the movie, mm-hmm. which is even cooler. But I love that. And then...
in a scene that does not hold up in the context of the Me Too movement.
Yeah. It's
no, yeah. That's
pretty uncomfortable to watch, yeah. actually.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Good, it's a good movie, though.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
movie.
We were watching it on TV the other day, and we were both like, yikes, they're filming a naked woman against her will.
Yeah. Eek. Eugene Levy.
Boys movies. Will be boys.
Boing.
Great sound effects.
That was the spring in the bed.
Yeah.
As far as another honorable mention, we actually kind of talked about this earlier, but Sing Street.
Yeah, that soundtrack is great.
I had to really restrain myself from putting soundtracks on here that were original music.
That's why I didn't put it on mine. I was like, because this is all made for the movie, but it's just so damn good. And yeah. We were talking about it earlier.
I mean, because movies like that, Sing Street, Pop Star was another one that came to mind. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I want to do episodes specifically around that, so I don't want to take away from it with something like this. The other one that really came to mind was Josie and the Pussycats.
Okay.
With Kay Hanley doing the music. Have you seen that, Chima?
I've actually never seen that movie. I know.
It's such a clever movie.
I hesitate to recommend it because I doubt it would hold up as a movie.
I've seen like a few
clips. The soundtrack is
and, like,
so good. It's like a pop punk Josie and the Pussycats take.
That's pretty cool.
And the music in it is so goddamn good.
Who plays
good.
Josie in that again?
Rachel Lee Cook.
That's okay. And then
Queen of
the
90s.
Mm-hmm. Who else is in the band?
Rosario Dawson and Tara Reid.
Yep. Okay. Also big 90s. Rosario yep. Dawson is still...
Yeah.
She's in a handful of stuff. Tara
she's
Reed.
Like queen of the Marvel universe right now.
Yeah.
TV
yeah,
universe
Netflix,
anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, those were the honorable mentions that I could, like, we're really into there. There are many other movies with great soundtracks, but over the course of a couple of days, these are the ones that stuck with me.
Yeah.
Kat, you want to close us out with your honorable mentions?
Sure. So, circling back to American Pie, my honorable mention comes from American Pie 2 soundtrack. This is Phoebe Cates from Phoenix TX. They're one of my all-time favorite pop-punk bands. And that soundtrack just has some, has Blink-182 again on it, and Alien Ant Farm, and American... Not American.
All American Psycho.
No, All American Rejects is on the soundtrack. So it's like the great like early 2000s
American
pop
Ninja
punk
Warriors
stuff.
Are featured on it.
I'm just thinking of the scene where they play Alien Ant Farm when he glues himself to himself.
Yeah.
It's so good.
There was like a string of those teen comedies that had really strong pop punk influenced soundtracks, like the first two American Pies, Van Wilder,
yeah, Sum 41, Blink 182, yeah. Green Days.
Yeah, so that was like right up my alley.
There was something
in that time of year.
There was some like relatively harmless rebellion to pop punk.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like
you had like Simple Plan that was just like I'm just a misunderstood kid, and it wasn't like.
Yeah.
The real pop.
Yeah, you could
like,
rebel against
anarchy.
Your parents without feeling like you had to be a gutter punk doing heroin on the weekends.
Exactly. You could just wear some like extra bracelets in the family picture and piss off your mom a little bit. Like that's.
I'm getting the laser background in my school photos, Mom.
Yeah,
thank
that's kind of what it was.
Now who's articulate?
A couple of my other honorable mentions. The Dead President soundtrack is also really good. Ooh, that's okay. Another one that's full of some great soul and R&B. There's like a Love Train on there, some Marvin Gaye, some Isaac Hayes, some Stevie Wonder, Sly and the Family Stone. It's a pretty solid soundtrack. Another one I would say that's an honorable mention is... there's one today that I was like, oh, maybe.
I really thought you were going to go with Empire Records.
That's a good one.
Almost
oh,
Famous?
Almost Famous.
No, Train Spotting.
Ooh, that is a good soundtrack.
That's a great soundtrack. Even that opening scene with Lust for Life where Mark Rutten is running through the streets and he's kind of narrating all of the crazy things that
Choose Life.
Yeah, that you're about to see. Yeah. It just really sets it up because that movie, like, it shows you some really deep and dark, shitty parts of being an addict, but there's also kind of like a bright, fun, like reawakening, tapping into what life really is aspects of it. And I think Lust for Life is a great theme for that. And just that opening scene, you're like, all right, I'm on board. Tell me the story I'm in. So that's another honorable mention for me.
Yeah. Cool.
So do we feel like we've got to the bottom of it? Do you feel comfortable with what you've put out there in terms of your favorite soundtracks?
Yeah.
Anything else either of you want to say?
I don't think so.
No. Welcome to the Space Jam, I guess.
It's your chance. Do your dance.
Check out. I feel like every movie that is connected to the soundtracks we've talked about is worth seeing. So
absolutely.
If you haven't seen them, check them out. I also think they're very well represented by their soundtracks.
I would say so.
So
except for maybe Batman.
And I feel like we've all done a good job, just to pat ourselves on the back real quick here, of representing the soundtracks very well with the songs we've chosen from them. So if there's anything that stands out to you from what we've played, you might really enjoy these soundtracks.
Do it. Watch it.
Yeah. Listen.
Listen.
Well, let's move into our drinking game. For today's drinking game, I've prepared 9 songs for you all. The object is for you to ring in and tell me in what movie was that song prominently featured in.
I'm so excited for this. Great. I'm not super great with like picking out a soundtrack, like super great, like, you know, like placing a song. But God damn it, do I know movies, and I can't wait. Very excited for it.
I'm glad we picked a game that's to your liking, Shinmo.
I approve.
Do you both feel like you're a comfortable range from the iPad, from the buzzer?
Kat, you have more in your way than I do, so that's on you there. I'm good with it. We can also move it if you need it. We can put it on one of the chairs if you want.
No, I can just move my bottles out of the way.
Multiple bottles?
Well, I have my beer bottle and my water bottle. Multiple bottles.
And your 10 other beer bottles.
Yep.
She's a real lush.
Lush for life.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. Let's move on.
I agree.
Awkward.
Are you guys ready?
Folks.
So it's the first
That's
person.
How I feel though.
So you are ringing in for the movie again.
So we say the movie in which it takes place.
You're ringing in for the movie. There might be a couple on here that are ambiguous where maybe they were prominently featured in more than one movie.
Okay.
I'll be generous with you on that front. I'll give you bonus points, which are utterly meaningless. If you can name the specific scene in which that song was featured.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. How many you got? We got like 10.
9. You got nine of them. Ooh.
That was a tie. You can take it, though.
That's Chin.
Okay, Chinma.
Oh, this is in 500 Days of Summer.
Can you name the scene?
Yeah, the big musical scene when he's singing. Yeah.
After they've slept together for the first time, and he's just so excited
Best
about it.
He looks at himself in the mirror, and he's Han Solo.
Han Solo, yeah. I love the baseball, too. Pulls it out of nowhere.
Another great movie. Yeah, we were talking before the episode started that we both considered putting this on our list.
Yeah, actually, but, it should have been an honorable mention. 500 Days of Summer has a great soundtrack as well.
Yeah. Are you guys ready for the next one?
Yeah.
It's going to be another race for the buzzer, so you want to have this ready, okay? Chima.
Rocky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Running up those
Come
stairs.
Come on, Kat, you're going to have to up your game a little bit.
It's not a movie, but also brilliantly used in an episode of Supernatural, which is one of the best music moments in there.
You ready for the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Ooh. I feel like I've heard it, but I don't know. It's looking at you like you should know this, Kat.
I know.
The chorus will give it away.
Top Gun.
Yeah.
It's when they're playing volleyball.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. This is the volleyball scene. Damn. Nice.
Play. the boys. There's a great Top Gun scene in Future Man as well. A great homage to that.
Great movie. Right, also great next soundtrack. One. I don't know who that was.
I'm going to give that to Kat because we gave
it's
the...
Wedding Crashers bonus points also used in Animal House.
Correct.
That's what I would have
wanted. And in Wedding Those Crashers, it's when they're sleeping with a bunch of ladies and they're all just falling onto the mattresses.
It's like the beginning. Yeah. But Animal
what
House...
What is it in Animal House?
When they're at the toga party. Yeah. And they're like, those two big guys come up and they're like, are you guys dancing with our dates?
Yeah. Next one.
Billy Madison.
No.
Oh, I thought this was a different song.
Cat.
Oh.
Guys.
I thought this was Billy Squire for a second. Stroke.
Love Stinks. Wedding Singer?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what that one was going to be my guess. And I was like, wait, no, am I thinking of something else? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Wedding
Remember
Singer.
The scene?
No.
I do. It's when after he gets, like, after she, was it Karen, leaves him. And he's at the and he's all depressed. And
Linda.
Sorry, okay. But then he gets all depressed and he's singing at the wedding. And the dad tells him, he's like, "I will strangle you with my microphone cord, sir."
This is also a great soundtrack.
Guys, I feel so bad. I forgot to finalize the rules of this. This is a drinking game, as always.
Yeah, I've just been taking.
If Chinmo wins the round, you have to take a drink, Kat.
Right.
If you win the round, I'm Chinmo's designated drinker, so I'll drink for him.
Right.
I'm just going to keep playing like I've been playing.
This is also a great soundtrack. And there's before or after this song, there's one of Adam Sandler's nephews being like, "Aunt Linda, you're a bitch."
We ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't place the movie.
Office Space.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Damn it.
Is this when they're smashing all the printers?
That's a great guess. It's not. Oh. It's the part after he just realizes he doesn't give a shit. And so he is like.
Oh, and he's like gutting a fish at his desk and stuff.
Takes down his cubicle wall and stuff to see the window.
All right. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get your hands
ready.
How
many have we done so far?
We've got one.
One left?
We got three left, okay. So we've done six.
Okay.
Cat.
That's Cat.
That is in Zoolander when they are having the gasoline fight.
Correct.
That's like a half a second. They also get memorialized with a statue.
All right. Next one.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Yep. He's singing it when before he cuts his ear off.
Yeah.
Yep. Well done.
I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Final one. You guys ready?
Yep.
Chinmo.
40-year-old virgin. The very end. Well, he did the moment. Asia.
Right on. I think we got to give the edge to Chinmo on this one. I wasn't counting, but he seemed like he was winning.
Sure.
Cat's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, my show's like Whose Line Is It Anyway?
But it's not
the points. The points don't matter, not because they don't, but because I'm not counting them.
You're the Drew Carey of podcasts.
Yeah. Guys, you are the host of a great pop culture show.
One
of my favorites. Easily one of my go-to podcasts. Tell me about it. Chinmo, how would you describe the show?
I just did the line that we do every episode.
I was trying to set you up for that.
I'll do a little different. It's called Conquest. Kat and I, we talk about all things pop culture, movies, TV, books, comics. We go to a bunch of different cons. We have a couple cons coming up in the next few weeks, which we're pretty excited about. We just did a cool Valentine's Day episode, which I think will be up right around the same time as this in that ballpark. So take a listen to that. There also might be a fun extra Valentine's Day gift with possibly two episodes might be going up on the same day. It'd be kind of cool.
Keep a lookout.
Yeah, but that's what we do.
Anything else you guys want to plug for yourselves? I feel like this. I'm glad we got to have you guys on for this episode in particular, because I feel like we get to talk a lot about the kinds of movies that you guys would talk about on your show.
Yeah. Well,
and I know we talked about it earlier, but we're gonna have a Black Panther one soon. Next week, it's in the next 2 weeks. I'd say we'll have a Black Panther episode going.
Any last thoughts or things to say? Things to plug for yourselves? Things to say about soundtracks?
No.
Okay. Final last little dumb plug for me. Wasted-minds.com. That's where you can find links to this show, but also to Conquest's episodes. If you go to wasted-minds.com/Kickstarter, you can also sign up for our Drinking Buddies mailing list if you're interested in receiving updates about our Kickstarter campaign for the drinking game we're developing. If you sign up there, we'll keep you abreast of all the latest updates and let you know as soon as the Kickstarter campaign goes live. I think that's it for me and for all of us here. To everybody listening, thanks so much for tuning in. Here's to you.